No, it's Just Plane Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly.
Tame it to the pilot, tame it to the tamer, tame it to the pilot.
Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot, that is me, along with Captain Keith this week. We are your crew for Just Plane Radio, the show devoted to the aviation lifestyle and learning to fly. Also, Dennis helping us out via the web. So we have pretty much a full crew, and we are still suffering somewhat from hurricane hangover. And so we got to address some of that, but we got to catch up with Keith because I haven't literally seen him since the hurricane, and he is sporting a new beard because he is unshaven. And I assume you've had showers and stuff, though.
I have had showers.
Okay.
But, yes, I do.
I didn't smell you when you came in.
Well, that's a good thing. It's a good sign.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we call this Irma.
You named your beard Irma.
Irma.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because that's you where lost she's, your razor in the hurricane?
Well, kind of, sort of. You know, it was just kind of a mad dash with trying to get the airplanes ready and get them in the hangar and then... Of course, me get out of town,
right?
With the RV, and so the last thing to do was shave, and you know, and it just kinda,
something had to give.
Well, so,
right. Well, okay.
Now you're getting a head start on your deer beard, right?
Well,
it's almost that season.
It is almost that season. However, I won't be able to keep it until then. So, because I've got a trip that I got to fly in the jet, so I'm going to have to shave it off.
Your mask doesn't seal that well over a big shaggy beard, huh?
No, it does not.
What do you mean you got to fly in a jet? What are you trying to say? I don't get it.
Well, when you fly jets, they have a full face oxygen mask, and that you have to wear if you have, like, say, smoke in the cockpit or a rapid depressurization.
Well, what jet are you flying? I didn't know you were flying a jet.
I fly quite a few jets.
Actually. I didn't know you had to wear a whole face mask.
Well, you don't have to wear it all the time, but if you get into an emergency situation,
okay.
Then you have to put it on.
And they won't let you wear a beard?
With a beard, it won't seal.
Yeah, so is that like an FAA rule?
Yeah.
Or it is?
Yeah. So you don't want to have a beard.
So that's why none of the pilots have beards.
That's correct.
Unless they're on hiatus and,
you know. Then quite a few of them do.
Huh. Okay, well, see, I didn't know that. I figured you could still seal it up some way.
Technically speaking, it is not a regulation.
Okay.
But nobody, none of the airlines or anybody like that will allow you to have one because if the mask does not seal, then it doesn't do its job.
Right. Okay.
So smoke could potentially get in there if you have smoke in the cockpit
mm-hmm.
or you lose the oxygen if you are just in a high altitude depressurization.
Okay. Well, for what it's worth, I have no opinion one way or another how good you look with a beard or without.
Why are you smiling?
Because I have no preference is my point. You know, from an aesthetic standpoint, he looks like Keith. He's a little more hairy today. Okay. Moving on.
So I can grow it on my face. I just can't grow it on my head. That's all.
Okay. All right. Let's just stop right there. I don't want to hear any more about that kind of stuff. But regardless, I'm glad you're here. And you made it.
It's good to be here.
Yeah. And you know, he talked about taking his RV. He lives in an RV. So you had to literally take your home out of harm's way. And that's what distracted you from, being
from
one of
shaving,
the crew members.
Yes.
Well, yeah. And shaving. You know, we have our standards here at Just Plane Radio. We just say, look, if you're not going to shave, don't even show. Don't even show up. You're not going to be presentable for Just Plane Radio.
Well, you've lost that a long time ago.
Look, we have had standards. No
so
beards.
There's
no
standards
beards
for us, but not for you. Got it.
Look, no beards are allowed here in the studio. Pants optional, but that's all another thing.
And that's the rules Greg goes by. Just so everybody knows what I have to put up with.
It's hot in Orlando in the summertime, and we're still.
Yeah, but your air conditioner's working now.
It is working, so I'm wearing pants.
It doesn't work very well in the studio, though.
Yeah, you should have seen us a couple weeks ago. Oof, it was bad. It was really bad on many levels. Anyway, I'm glad you're back,
And it's good to be back.
House is fine.
The house is fine.
The planes are good. Ed gave us the lowdown last week on the show that all the things survived fine. You guys are back, doing the grind, right?
We're back to the grind. Mm-hmm. So we're doing well.
Yeah.
So.
And what about you, Dennis?
It took us a little while to get back up and running just because a lot of folks left town.
Right.
And a lot of people didn't have electricity, so they couldn't do their homework and, you know, things like that. But we're pretty much back up to operating speed now.
Well, good. And what about you, Dennis? Are you flying your Mooney around up
here
in Minnesota?
No, I got mine out of Florida before the storm hit, so we're good.
Okay. So you're all set there. Now, there's been some other stuff going on that you've been dealing with that I thought was kind of interesting. Austin, your son, he just did his what now? What happened?
So Austin's enrolled in college. He started this year, and because he had his private pilot's license already, he was able to go and skip that part of the college flying program, went right straight into his instrument training. So yesterday was his first ever flight in actual instrument conditions.
Ooh.
He took off and was entered the clouds at 500 feet and didn't break out until almost 4,000, and he spent the whole hour and a half flight lesson cruising around in the clouds, doing holds, and flew his first two instrument approaches.
But I saw something there from the email that you sent me or text that said he was a little annoyed that he couldn't put the plane on autopilot because he wouldn't fly in your plane. Is that
right? Yeah, I've definitely ruined him.
Yeah.
The warriors that they have down at the college program are, you know, some of them are glass cockpits and some of them still have steam gauges, but none of them have an autopilot. So he had to hand fly the airplane the entire time while in solid IFR conditions. It's great for him, but yeah, you get spoiled with being able to go hit the button and hold altitude and hold heading and just worry about monitoring the system. So he had to, he's like, every time I turn around, it's 100 feet and then I'm back and I want to get the trim set. At least we have electric trim. I've got that going for me.
Mm-hmm.
Kids these days, I tell you.
They're spoiled rotten, aren't they?
They are.
Yeah. See, when I do this, when I go through that whole program, I'm manual all the way. What do you think? No?
No, you won't be.
You're not buying that one?
I had to get back in the plane first.
It's great to, you have to know how to use the autopilot, but autopilots can break.
And at inconvenient times, too.
Yeah. I have a customer of ours that I've been working with, and it's very evident that he has not hand flown the airplane in a very, very long time.
Yeah.
Well, and I don't think it's just your customers. I mean, look at, you know, what was it? The one down in San Francisco where they didn't realize that the autopilot was disconnected and wound up a few feet short of the runway.
That's a whole different
Asiana.
That's a whole different ball game there. Those people just don't understand they can't do visual approaches. They don't know how to do them.
What, autopilot?
But they've become too reliant on the autopilot.
They've become
automation.
Very reliant on the autopilot, and even without, there was no automation there at all because the ILS was out of service, so they had to do a visual approach. But the key is that, and the FAA is really big in the airlines at this point right now, is, you know, get off of the automation, because when the automation does break, and it does break in the airlines quite often, because they fly so often.
Well, that makes me feel way more safe.
No, it's not that. It's just very simply that when the airplanes are being operated all the time, you know, just like your car, the more miles you put on it, the more it begins to break.
Yeah.
And so you have systems that start to malfunction.
Well, wait. I saw airplane, and when they put on the autopilot, after about 30 minutes or so, the guy starts to deflate. He has to be pumped up again.
And yes, that's very true, and you said you weren't going to go there, and you went ahead and did that anyway.
Well, I'm just saying.
And you were happy to pump him up again. But at any rate, one of the things that came out of this deal with one of my customers is that he went back to the manufacturer and said, you know, why isn't this on the essential bus? And they said, well, no autopilot's on the essential bus. And that's a true statement. But you know, the manufacturer's reply to him was, an airliner's autopilot's not on an essential bus.
Hmm.
So if you lose the essential bus in a smaller airplane, you're going to lose the autopilot as well. Okay. And in an airliner, you do the same thing. However, in an airliner, you have two pilots. So you have one to do some navigation. You have one to fly the airplane.
Right.
So the one flying the airplane, that's all he's doing is flying the airplane and maintaining that scan while somebody else is doing all the talking on the radio and everything else. Mm-hmm. Single pilot IFR is by far the most difficult flying you'll do.
Hmm.
But that's why, you know, his son having to do that, being forced to do that,
it's good really, training.
It's great training.
Great practice.
It's fantastic training. Because
what's the ratio? Should you fly, autopilot 1-5 and 5 manual kind of thing, maybe? Is there kind of an idea like, hey, to keep your skills sharp?
Initially, fly everything on the autopilot. And then, as you get comfortable, put the autopilot on when you need to change charts for a different approach or something like that.
That sounds good. Let's get more into that next on Just Plane Radio.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
As pilots, it's all about the journey. But sometimes situations arise that can turn an adventure into a nightmare. Do what divers do. Join DAN, Divers Alert Network. The many benefits of a DAN membership go way beyond water activities. As a DAN member, you automatically receive DAN Travel Assist and up to $100,000 of evacuation assistance coverage. This applies to both diving and non-diving medical emergencies. Dive into DAN.org for details. DAN, your Dive Safety Association.
With Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
A touch of my hand and you shall fly.
It's my time to fly.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Keith and Dennis, rounding out the crew as we navigate the latest aviation news and information. A lot of stuff going on right now. Congress is talking about the FAA. We'll get into that here in just a bit. But first, we got to continue this autopilot discussion, I believe, because I want to make sure I understand this correctly, Keith. Yeah, when I get to my IFR certification, which I will. Yeah, you believe that, don't you?
I believe that wholeheartedly.
Okay, good.
You still believe in Santa Claus, too?
Shush.
I do.
I do wonder, though. I mean, you're saying you should have the autopilot on when you're learning to do IFR, and then what? Turn it off when you're caught up. Is that what you're saying? And then just make sure you fly the plane? Or should you like plan on, okay, I'm going to do this IFR flight, and I'm going to do the whole thing manually?
I like the idea of having an autopilot in the airplane, especially when you're learning instrument flying to begin with. And the reason for that is it gives people or the applicant an introduction to an autopilot, how they operate and what they can use to help them manage the workload in the cockpit.
Okay. So you put it on autopilot and then you get the other stuff.
Right. So when you have to have your attention diverted away from flying the airplane, for instance, changing charts, looking up radio frequencies or something that you've missed, or you know, you're getting into the airport, you're trying to find the tower frequency on the chart.
Right.
You know, fine, go ahead, put the autopilot on there so you've got something that will maintain the altitude and your heading for you so that you can maintain course and maintain control of the airplane.
Mm-hmm.
And it gives them an opportunity to see how that works.
Okay.
The last thing that you want is for somebody to go through all of their instrument training, hand flying everything, and then they get their instrument rating and they go rent an airplane that's got an autopilot. And they go blasting off into IFR conditions. And now suddenly they're trying to figure out how to use an autopilot. Mm-hmm. And you can really get yourself messed up bad in a situation like that. And the same goes for using things like ForeFlight or Garmin Pilot or any of the other technology that you have. You got to know how to use it before you get into IFR.
Mm-hmm.
And we stress that when you go through the training.
Okay. So you use it to help manage the workload.
Correct.
But then when you're caught up and you're like, okay, I got this flight down. I know where I got to go next. And I got my frequencies dialed in. Is that the time we're like, you know what? I need to make sure I know how to fly this plane again. Let me take it back manually and start flying.
Get it back on.
So don't end up using the autopilot as a crutch. And then next thing you know, 6 months have gone by. Like, you know, I haven't flown this plane in God knows how long. I don't even remember how to land it.
Exactly right. You don't want to use it as a crutch.
Yeah.
And so what I try and do is my little phrase to people is I take it off autopilot and put it on awesome pilot. Just to try and, you know, encourage them to hand fly the airplane.
Do you recommend a cape and a mask?
No cape.
I am awesome pilot. I do recommend the mask because that blocks their outside view.
True. And it looks cool.
Yes.
But the cape
can get in the way in the airplane, especially during an emergency egress if you have to do so.
Looks pretty cool.
Looks are not everything.
Starts running. Just reach around back. Wipe that, you know, away, and you're good to go.
Why do you need that? You use your shirt sleeve as it is.
Oh, true. Okay. Anyway.
Buttons on the sleeves of the suit coats?
Yeah, exactly. We're wearing suits. Look, we're lucky if we're wearing pants, dude. Come on. Seriously? Anyway.
That's Greg, not Keith.
Right.
Okay. Well, those are that's good stuff to know. And so Austin, Dennis's son, was doing this, and he was missing his autopilot. But that's a good thing, because now he's learning how to fly the plane and not relying on any crutches whatsoever. So when he has access to the autopilot and the Mooney, he'll be golden. He'll be awesome pilot.
Well, I don't think I'm going to tell him about the awesome pilot. It might just go to his head.
Well, he's a pilot, so, you know.
It's already there. So
yeah,
just,
exactly.
That's true.
You know.
It's pretty much part of the DNA of most pilots now, isn't it? So once you can do it, you know, hey, go for it.
How do you know someone's a pilot? Don't worry. They'll tell you.
Ah, good point. But that's good. He should be proud of himself.
I usually don't tell people I'm a pilot.
Really?
When I meet them for the first time.
Yeah. Why? Are you afraid to scare them? Or why wouldn't you tell? Why?
Just because of that stigmatism that...
You want to be a modest pilot.
I do. I tell them I'm a heavy equipment operator.
Seriously,
I do.
Huh? Okay. Well, that would work too.
Pounds.
He's not really into impressing the chicks these days. It sounds like to me.
You know, I've got one that I impressed, and that's enough.
That's enough. And she doesn't care what you do anymore.
No.
Yeah.
Well, she does, but you know, not as far as that goes.
Okay, fair enough. But okay, well, that's good stuff for Austin. Are you planning a trip down here to Florida anytime soon again, or are you guys just flying around up there in Minnesota?
Probably right now, just up in Minnesota. He's busy with work, school.
It's because it's not icing up there yet.
Yeah, we don't have icing yet. And so, yeah, we're still good.
Yeah. Well, Dennis is coming down on a commercial flight to join me for a dive trip here in about a week. Oh, so we're going to the Turks and Caicos. So
what's left of it?
Well, you know, we're going to be on a boat.
We're not going to see much of the topside entertainment.
Other than the airport.
We're going to be about 5 miles offshore and under the boat most of the time.
That is the plan. But, yeah, you know, I got some, you know, news that after the latest one, which one? What was the name?
Maria.
Maria, yeah. That was far enough away from the Turks where they got by fairly unscathed compared to Irma, which did whack them pretty good.
Right.
But they're rebuilding and fixing things up after Irma, and they've made pretty good progress from what I've heard. You know, the main thing, all we care about for our trip, we care about everybody on the island, don't get me wrong, of course, but as long as the commercial airport's working and the boat that we're going to be on for a week has access to their marina and stuff, which they do. I already found that out. And they can get food and stuff. We'll be good. If they don't have access to food on the island, we're going to be scavenging for fish and lobster all week.
Well, that's...
That doesn't sound too bad, does it there, Dennis?
Doesn't sound like a bad thing at all.
Yeah, no. But I don't think we're going to have to do that. They're going to have their regular meals and stuff ready to go. So we're good, and I'm looking forward to that. But you were tempted to fly down there, weren't you, Dennis?
Well, yeah, I think you were trying to convince me to fly
down. I was thinking that would be
so
a cool way.
Take you back in time to get to your Bruno Mars concert or
that's
something.
That's right.
So why don't you fly down, Dennis, and that way you could take some supplies in?
Well, that would be a good thing.
That would be fun to do, however.
But if he brought supplies down, he wouldn't be able to bring himself down because there's not a whole lot of carry capacity with that. It'd be me and him, and that's it. Here, have a Slim Jim.
And then my daughter would be kind of left out, and that's a bit of a problem.
Yeah.
She is really looking forward to this trip.
Well, if you went down and say that's all we brought back, I think they'd take that Slim Jim and stab it into your eye.
Probably.
You know? Yeah. Yeah. So, unfortunately,
there actually are a number of groups that are looking for pilots to be able to fly supplies in.
Yeah. Well, we were talking to Tom Haynes about that last week. He did a run himself down to the Florida Keys. So, it's good stuff. There's a lot of organizations you can chime in and help out in that regard. Go to AOPA.org and look for the banners right there. More coming up on Just Plain Radio.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I've been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm gonna fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere, and you gotta learn to use those wings you can't see.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, Captain Keith, and Dennis rounding out the crew today as we navigate the latest aviation news and information. And you know, we're going to talk about the FAA here in just a bit. There's some stuff going on in Congress. About the authorization funds. Are they going to approve them? Are they not? We'll find out what's going on as much as we know at the moment here in just a bit. But first, Dennis, you said you were planning to fly around Minnesota, and during the commercial break, you mentioned something to me about you're trying to get a free bomber jacket by visiting how many airports?
The state of Minnesota has a program. They call it the Passport Program, where you get a little book with little spots that get stamps in it. As you fly to each of the airports in the state of Minnesota, they all have a little rubber stamp at the airport. You put it in there. When you get your requisite number of stamps, and I think it's like 130 different airports, you get a free leather jacket from the state of Minnesota.
Within a year period or something, or what?
It's not within a year period. It's just you have to fill up the passport with the stamps, and then they also want to see your logbook to prove that you really did go there, not just, you know, had a rubber stamp made.
Right.
That's
kind of cool.
It's an excuse to get out and go fly and explore and see some of the other airports because you know, why would I wind up going to some of these little small towns, you know, unless... Oh, let's check out and see what the facilities have. It's really kind of neat.
Sure. It's kind of like a little scavenger hunt in your airplane.
Yeah.
Give you something to do.
So Friday night, Austin and one of his classmates came up and said, well, let's go to the airport. Let's go take the Mooney out for a quick little run. And so we flew, 30 miles north to one of the other metro airports because I hadn't gotten that one in my logbook yet.
Uh-huh.
And we pull into the ramp, and we didn't see the line guys. We just parked next to another Mooney and walked in. And the lady wanted to charge us $15 handling fee to go in and get the rubber stamp in our logbook because we parked on their ramp.
What?
Are you kidding me?
Do they have airline service there?
No, they do not. It's a general aviation reliever airport that's funded by my airport sales tax, by hangar rent, etc.
Report them to AOPA.
Exactly.
That sounds like a scam thing, or she was just short for lunch money or something. She figured she could put the squeeze on you.
Merge two FBOs on a field.
You got to pay for them jackets somehow.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
With Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
If you build an airplane and people are afraid of anything that flies, you can't just take the wings off of it, because at that point, all you're left with is a really slow, super expensive bus. We built an airplane, we gotta fly it.
Airplane, airplane, don't you go down today, take me away, off to a better place, you know.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me, along with Captain Keith and Dennis. All right, so Dennis went to his FBO there in Minnesota with the goal of getting a free jacket. If he visited 130 of them, which is that's quite a few trips. But the lady at the counter tried to charge you $15 to stamp your passport.
Well, it wasn't to stamp the passport. It was just because I landed, you know, parked on their ramp.
Did you tell her that's why you were there? You're trying to earn your free jacket?
Exactly. So this is ridiculous. You know, this is the state program that they provide. The idea is to incentivize the pilots to get out and go fly and explore Minnesota. And
yeah.
You're going to charge me $15 to park at your ramp just to go inside and get the rubber stamp and leave again 2 minutes later?
This is the kind of stuff AOPA has been clamping down on lately, or having people...
Yeah. For sure.
Asking the membership to report because, you know, these fees aren't really readily promoted. Obviously, you didn't know it. Was there anywhere that you could have looked online and popped up and like, oh, they got a $15 landing fee or whatever?
Yeah, maybe if I would have looked at, one of the websites that does the reviews and things like that, maybe I would have seen it. But
yeah. Well, do you want to call them out on the radio or no?
Nah, I'll leave it for now.
They didn't charge you, or you walked out.
No, they did. They did waive the fee this time, but they made it very clear that, you know, if you come up here again, you know, we do charge the $15 fee, or you have to buy a minimum amount of fuel.
Ah, you didn't just do a down and dash kind of thing.
Well, that's what I wanted to do. It just was going to be get up there and
that doesn't work,
get my
they
stamp
just,
and go.
They just look at the end number and they send the bill to the registered owner.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
Okay.
Unfortunately,
it's
that's
like
also me.
Cameras, huh? What a scam. Yeah, it is kind of stupid. I mean, come on. I mean, look, I understand they got to make a buck and stuff like that. But the, you know, a landing fee, or if like you would think it'd be like a stand, like if you're only going to be here less than an hour, just stopping to pick someone up or something. I don't really understand why they can.
I don't understand how they think they can be the gatekeeper and charge for their facility when the airport's paid for by the taxpayers. It's funded by aviation taxes. It's funded by our hangar rents. Any maintenance I get done in Minneapolis at any of those airports, they charge a 1% fee on top of everything that helps fund the airport operations.
Mm-hmm.
So why this independent operator thinks that they can also add another $15 charge for somebody just to park for 5 minutes,
because they don't get the cost of that.
No, they don't. They have to pay a fee in as well. They pay a percentage of their sales. They pay a flowage charge and things like that. But it didn't used to be that way. A year ago, it was a different operator. And so some new company came in, bought up that FBO and another and merged them. So now what was two competitors is now just one operator.
Yeah, and they can do what the heck they want. Is it a fancier one? Do they have a nice cappuccino machine and stuff like that?
Yeah, they do.
Okay.
It's a nice, clean facility.
Right. You got to be aware of that stuff, you know, because, yeah, your free bomber jacket that you're hoping to earn there in Minnesota may not be so free.
To get my money back. Believe me, I've paid in. The sales tax was a significant amount of money on the Mooney. And be my way of getting at least a portion of it back.
Well, how far along are you in this process? You got to visit 130 airports in Minnesota?
I've probably got about 20 or 25 in the logbook.
Oh, wow. So you got a ways to go.
I got a ways to go.
Yeah. But it'll be a good project, sure.
It's going to be fun.
Combine that with
the crash and dash and, you know, two pilots switching off and
crash
one
and
runs
dash
in to get the stamp.
You're not going to be able to dash if you crash. So you got.
Well, that's
be-
what they call it, though. We crash your dash. You come in, you land, you leave, you know, and you go off to the next airport and make that a Saturday afternoon
there's
project.
There's something wrong with the way that's being described to me.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. But, okay. Well, it sounds like a fun project, so you can kind of, you know, share your progress over the next few months and then give me the jacket.
Yeah, you should do like the RVers do, and that's put a sticker on your airplane every time for every airport that you hit.
Actually, Austin started that down here. He's got the state of Minnesota aviation chart on the wall, and he's started putting pins in each of the airports we've been to and color-coding them, whether it's been just we've gone to it or did the Mooney go to it. And so he's been doing that and keeping track of the different fields we go to.
Well, very nice. Very nice. All right. So that sounds like something that'll be a fun project for sure. You know, maybe you combine that with the $100 hamburger thing. You know, you multitask.
Multitask.
But I got to ask you about Girls in Aviation, because I know you were there representing Just Plane Radio last weekend. When we talked to you, you were getting ready to go out there and you know, I don't know. I don't think you're planning to be a girl in aviation, but you're planning to support the cause. And if you were planning to be a girl, I'm not going to judge.
You know, that's acceptable these days.
I support you, whatever. But how did it go?
It went great. We got up there, and actually the Flying Club was one of the sponsors there, so I was actually helping out man our booth. We put one of our airplanes up on display so that girls could actually get into an actual airplane and take a look around and see the controls and how they move and what they do and look at the radios and the instruments. And so this was the first time for a lot of these young girls to be around an airplane. You know, nobody's ever thought of an airplane other than a bus you get in off a jetway, and to actually be able to sit in the cockpit and touch the controls was really kind of eye-opening for a lot of them.
Right.
And maybe they'll start to think of this as something that they can do too.
So Austin was there, right?
He was, but in an official capacity. He works at the airport on the weekends, and it was his company that was actually sponsored the venue for the show. So he was busy gassing up the airplanes that were doing the free plane rides and marshaling people in and out and doing all of that. So he didn't get to play as much as he got to just be, you know, surrounded by the crowds.
Okay. Well, play in the sense like go after some of the girls, being that he, you know, he's a young man looking to, you know, score at some point in his life. Or is he?
Well, I guess some of his classmates from Mankato were like, did a double take, because I was like, Austin, what are you doing up here? Because Mankato had a huge contingent of the aviation program that were coming up.
Yeah.
They brought one of their planes up, and they were also walking around in their school uniform stuff, their official flight attire, and were answering questions and manning booths and showing off. And so they all of a sudden, here's Austin in his flight line gear. Like,
ah, so
what
he
are
was
you doing here?
He was doing a little peacocking, wasn't he? Come on, sure. Let's be real.
They look pretty good with that fuel truck and ladder, you know?
Okay. Well, God bless them. All right. So
it was a good time. And then I even managed to get in touch with my old flight instructor, the one that did my instrument training.
Yeah.
I knew she was coming up. She's been big in the Women in Aviation group. And so we were chatting back and forth on text. I was like, where are you? And she's like, oh, I'm over by the CRJ. She flies for Endeavor, which is a Delta commuter provider. Oh, okay. Yeah, I got to fly it in. So here, a year ago, she left to go to the airline, and now for this year's program, she got to fly the airliner back into the field that she used to train out of.
That's
nice. That's pretty awesome. That had to be cool.
A CRJ, you say?
Yes, a CRJ regional jet, the 200, the one like Keith used to fly.
So that's what, a 20-seater? How many seats?
50.
50-seater. Very nice. So she liking her new gig?
She had a big smile on her face.
Yeah. All right, that's cool.
She looks good in the uniform, and it looks like she's really having a good time with it.
Well, did you suck up to her a little bit and say, hey, you know, can I...
Hey, remember me, the little guy? Yeah.
Yeah, can I take one of those 50 seats when next time you're flying?
That's the same airplane that I am going to be flying here shortly.
Yeah?
That's the one I flew George Bush in.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Oh,
it only has 14 seats in it, though.
Ah, of course.
They're the business
14
jet
really big ones.
Configuration.
They are pretty big, and they're very comfortable.
Yeah. Very nice. All right. Well, that's cool. And so the whole event, though, was a huge success. You had good weather and everybody, big crowds
and
all
that.
Yeah,
the weather was gorgeous.
Yep. Good. Yeah.
Absolutely beautiful. We were, I think, almost 90 degrees. And so that late in September, having, you know, that warm of weather up here in Minnesota was, you know, not the norm. So it was definitely very enjoyable. A lot of people came out, a lot of people flying. It was a great time.
Very nice. So is that plane, that's the plane, are you getting ready to fly that again?
Yes.
To where? What are you doing this time? Are you can you tell us?
We're heading up to Washington, D.C.
Yeah? To do what?
That I don't know. I'm just flying.
The owner just said, hey, Keith, I got to go here.
Yep.
I need you here. Meet me at the airport. We're going to D.C. You're going up to D.C. Are you going to talk to some congressmen maybe about this whole FAA thing?
We just
The timing is unique.
The timing is unique. And, of course, you know, I have flown the governor of Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And so that may be, may very well be what we're doing.
Yeah. Does he demand special amenities when he's flying?
No.
Like, you know, cheese curds or, as opposed to peanuts? And
he doesn't demand anything.
No, he's just a real regular kind of guy.
He really is, yeah.
Okay. Well, that's awesome.
So was George Bush, by the way, when I flew with him.
Yeah. Keith sent me a picture, and he was giving me the thumbs up. That was pretty sweet. All right, we got some drone news, of course, coming up. Stay close.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
Divers fear the bends. However, what does decompression sickness feel like? I'm Greg the Dive Master, and I'll share a few signs and symptoms next. Scuba
Radio. This scuba tip is brought to you by DAN, Divers Alert Network. DAN helps divers in need of medical emergency assistance with the DAN hotline and is the most recognized and trusted organization worldwide in the fields of dive safety and emergency services, health, research, and education. Join DAN today by going to DAN.org. DAN, your Dive Safety Association.
Decompression sickness, or the bends, is a risk divers minimize with proper training. However, it can happen. Pain in the joints is the most common symptom. Numbness, headache, fatigue, motor weakness, nausea, or an unexplained skin rash can be a sign as well. If you or your buddy encounters any of those after a dive, get help now. Dive into DAN.org for more info and to Scuba Radio to get the urge to submerge. Scuba Radio.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Watch the sky.
I like Curtis Mike with pain, and music is my aeroplane. It's my aeroplane.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, co-pilot, Captain Keith, and Dennis rounding out the crew. Okay, look. We got to do some drone news. It's been like 3 weeks because of this friggin' hurricane nonsense. We have to. It's the law. Isn't it?
This is Greg's law.
Yes.
And Greg is just majorly antsy here in the studio because he hasn't been able to talk about drones.
Yeah, I've had to...
He's had to talk about hurricanes and things
nonsense.
Like that he doesn't like.
It's very annoying. So it's time to catch up just a little bit. I got some news out of Dubai. They're jumping on the drone bandwagon faster than pretty much everywhere else from what I can tell. And Dennis saw this as well. They evidently... well, two things. First off, they're going to start delivering coffee on Dubai Beach via drone, which is something obviously we need in the 21st century.
When's the last time you were at the beach?
It's been a while. However, you know, when was the last time I've been to the beach and needed coffee? You know, someone didn't think this through perfectly.
You're not up early enough in the morning to go to the beach and have coffee at the same time.
Well, look, I'm thinking the beach, when I go out to the beach, it's going to be like 1, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It's not necessarily coffee time is my point. And then in Dubai, when it pretty much is like 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon, 24 hours a day, because it's a friggin' desert. I mean, it could be 7 o'clock in the morning, be 100 degrees there, you know what I mean? So,
so a lot of people would say, why do you need coffee at that
point? That's my point! Yeah.
I want a cold beverage at that point.
Yeah, maybe it'll be a macchiato.
Actually, you know, it's been proven
frozen something
that,
rather
that having something hot to drink when you're hot will cool you down faster than drinking something cold.
Is that maybe you should go to Dubai and help them out with their marketing campaign? Sure, you're sweating your off, but here, have a hot coffee. It'll make you feel cooler.
Given the choice between a hot coffee or an ice-cold pint of beer, I think I know which direction I would sway.
Yeah.
I'm taking the coffee.
Well, I think Dubai, they might have...
You're flying, though.
They may have rules where they won't let people drink booze there. I don't know.
I don't think you can drink there.
Yeah. So they went
and
for
you certainly cannot drink openly.
Yeah. So maybe it's an iced coffee. I'm going to assume that's what they're doing. But, you know, hey, look, I'll tell you what. If I was in Dubai and I was on the beach and it was, you know, 115 degrees... I probably would order a coffee just because I'd want to see it delivered by drone.
And you wouldn't even drink it. You would just have it delivered.
Exactly. I'd say deliver it, and then I'd pour it back down into the sand or something. Why? Take it back. Take it back, right.
No, just give it to me.
Okay. You would drink that.
But see, you have to be on the beach at 7 o'clock in the morning or earlier in Dubai because there's so many people out there, and the beach is very small.
Really?
In order to get room, you got to be out there early.
Have you ever
seen the pictures of the beach in Dubai?
I've been to the beach in Dubai.
And?
It looked like a typical beach. It wasn't that crowded when I went. Now I was half asleep, and we were...
So he needed that drone with the coffee.
We had flown all... Maybe that's why they do it.
Now the truth comes out.
You know, I'd literally flown 24 hours, and we got to Dubai, and we took a taxi tour around the city. We had like a 8-hour layover, but I was so exhausted. By the time we got to the beach... the people I was with, they all got out of the cab and they said, "You guys go. It's a beach. I'm sleeping." So I literally slept in the back of the cab while they went and walked out on the beach. I didn't care. I just looked at it through the window. It's too damn hot, and I'm exhausted.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
Yeah.
Greg, for those of you who don't know, Greg doesn't do well without sleep.
Well, it's a necessity. It's a required thing. You need.
It's all 14 hours a day minimum, right?
You have plenty of time to sleep when you're dead.
Well, and, you know, it helps you stay regular.
I have no worries. No worries.
You have no comment.
Coffee comes in.
Okay. It's either coffee or sleep. Okay, good point, Dennis. All right, so there's enough about the Dubai coffee. The other cool thing is they think they're going to be the first ones to have drone taxis. So you could order your taxi like an Uber or Lyft. Lyft, literally. And it will a drone will land near you, and you'll pop in this little, you know, drone-like human carrier thingy, and it'll take you to your destination. There's a video on YouTube. Just Google it. Dubai taxi, right?
Dubai drone taxi.
Yeah, Dubai drone taxi. And it'll pop right up, and you can see what I'm talking about. It looks pretty cool, but it looks like a giant drone, you know. But Dubai,
and you want to go to Dubai? Looks like a weird marriage of a drone or a 2-seat helicopter and
a quadcopter, you know,
18 rotor blades of a quadcopter type of a setup.
I don't know.
I'm still a little hesitant. I have a hard time just getting in the Mooney as a passenger and letting somebody else fly it. The fact getting in and there's nobody else flying it, I'm going to trust that this thing's going to get me safely to where I need to go.
It either is or it isn't. You know, yeah.
Well, that's because you have control issues.
Mm-hmm.
I do. I like one in front of me.
Well, I don't think that's going to be the case here. They're not going to give the people the option. You know, you just order it, and some computer guy at some office in high rise in Dubai is going to be controlling this thing. And you better.
Well, I doubt it's a guy controlling it. I'm sure that it's just going to be programmed the destination into an app on your smartphone, and it picks you up and drops you off, and that's it.
Well, that's
true.
There's
not somebody actually with a stick in a back room somewhere for actually flying it. It'll be completely autonomous.
It will be an autopilot.
Yep.
For real. And do you trust it or not? Well, in Dubai, they don't care, you know. So they want to be the first ones to offer this. I don't know. Did they have any dates or years they think they're going to be putting this in operation, Dennis? Did you see?
I didn't see a time frame for it. I just saw that it was just this Monday that it was the maiden test flight for one of the potential taxis.
Aha. Uh-huh. Yeah, I wonder if it's going to be like a new ride at one of the fancy hotels. You know, they already got an indoor ski slope and, you know, largest indoor aquarium. They got all these crazy attraction things. This could just be a ride. You know what I mean? It'll just be like an amusement ride.
It'll probably start out like that.
Yeah, it probably will. And, you know, I'd probably buy a ticket for it. I would do it.
Start it off there as a proof of concept and then scale it up.
I'd let someone else go first, but I'd be willing to give it a go after I saw, hey, well, he got there. I'll be next. Yeah. Would you do that, Keith?
I would try it.
Yeah.
Sure, why not?
I just wouldn't be the first one. All right. And on that note, we'll end it. Till next time, remember, there is no better high
than learning to fly.
Just Plane Radio is brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plane Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlaneRadio.com.
I'm going to lead my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plane Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plane Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlaneRadio.com.